If I took a poll, what do you think are the most serious sins? What are all the sins that we can commit as human beings? What do you think is the most serious? I think in our culture today, many people would say, well, it's the sexual sins. They're so easy to fall into, whether it is through online pornography or whatever other reason. There's such a strong temptation in our lives. It's got to be that. Others might look around and say, no, it's got to be greed. There's so much greed in our world today. People are, and not just greed for money, greed for power, greed for control, greed for things. There's got to be that. Some might look at the corporate sins. And I don't mean corporate sins as in the sins of a corporation, but as in communal sins is another word you might hear for that, where there's sins that we commit as a community. You know, it's environment, not protecting the environment. We're not doing enough to protect the environment. That's the greatest sin. We're not protecting our world enough. Or there's the isms, the racism and sexism and the phobias, homophobia and transphobia and things like that. Those are the most serious sins. I mean, that's at least what you hear out in the world, that all those things are the most serious sins. But you know, those aren't the most serious sins. They aren't the most deadly sins. They are deadly sins, many of those things I mentioned. But they aren't the most deadly. The most deadly sin is pride. It is the sin of pride. It is the original sin. It is the sin that Adam and Eve committed there in the garden with the serpent. We all know the story. Oh, we're not supposed to eat from that apple. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. It's not going to hurt you. Matter of fact, it'll make you like God. That's what the serpent tells Adam and Eve. It is the desire for glory, for honor, for power. It is the desire to be like God. That is what pride is. That is why it's the deadliest sin. The first reading says, if you do not listen, if you do not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and of your blessing I will make a curse. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. And that's what happens when we fall into the sin of pride. And when we commit the sin of pride, it leads to other sins. So many of those other sins that I mentioned come from pride. I mean, greed is probably one of the clearest. Oh, I need all the money for me, for my good, for my power, my control. I need all these possessions. I need this, you know, all this stuff needs to come for me. Pride is turning inward. Now, when I say pride, this is one of these cases where the English language isn't as precise as it could be. Because we use really two senses for the word pride. The first is the sin. But the other is when we say we're proud of our family, we're proud of our community, we're proud of our country, we're proud of our accomplishments. That's more honor and respect. I'm proud of my country. I honor and I respect. I love my country. That's very different than this sense of pride as a self-centered turning inward. This deadly sin of pride. Pride is dangerous because we turn inward. We are blinded to the reality of the world around us. We are blinded especially to the spiritual reality that is around us. We draw inward and we get cut off from God. Again, go back to the story of Adam and Eve. They were thrown out of the garden. They were cut off from God because they committed the sin of pride. They saw themselves as equal to God. And they committed the original sin. Well, when we act out of pride, we make it about us. We make the world about us. The world serves, exists to serve me. That's what we say when we fall into pride. We think we're the most important. We think we know better than everybody else, even God himself. We think we even know better than God himself. That is what pride does to us. That is why this is so deadly. It leads us away from him, and it makes us follow that path that the serpent led. We fall away from God. And hopefully we're aware of the work of pride in our lives, because we all have it to a bigger or smaller amount. Sometimes it's very simple in our lives. Sometimes it's we can see that we are aware of that. We are aware of it working in our lives. But sometimes we're not. But I hope we constantly are asking ourselves, how do I overcome this sin of pride, this selfishness, this turning inward? If we're Christians, we should be asking that question. And every sin, every vice has an opposite virtue. It has a virtue that we can cultivate to overcome that vice. And of course, the opposite of pride is humility. Arguably, the most difficult of the virtues to cultivate. Just as pride is the deadliest of the sins, humility is the most difficult to cultivate. I mean, we don't want to be humiliated. That's a bad thing. And yet, that's how we grow in humility, is by allowing ourselves to shed that pride. We are called to model our life after our Lord and live the humility that he lived. Think about it. Our Lord is the second person of the Trinity. He is God. As we say in the Creed, he is the one through whom all things were made. We exist because of him. And yet, he humbled himself to become one of us. He became one of us lowly creatures. But then, this is where you always got to throw in the telecommercials. But wait, there's more. He humbled himself so strongly to die on the cross for us. The cross is the ultimate sign of humility. That is the level of humility we are called to have in our lives. To die to ourselves, to die to our wants, to die to our desires, to live for him, to put away that pride. And one thing we come to recognize, if we are living humbly, and there are those who do model humility in the world, they recognize that the praise and the honor isn't for them, it's for him. Praise and honor is reserved for God. Everything we have is a gift from him. And so when we use those gifts, we are using them for his honor, for his glory. Because we do recognize that we are not like gods. And we are not to be like God. And we recognize that the source of wisdom and instruction and teaching comes from him, not from us. It comes from him. Even if we are hearing it through the church, say a priest standing up here at the pulpit preaching, it is coming from him through the voice of the priest. This is what St. Paul is talking about in the second reading, where he said, in receiving the word of God from hearing us, you received not a human word, but as it truly is, the word of God, which is now at work in you who believe. When the gospel is preached, it's his word. When his teachings are taught, it's his teachings. Not mine, not bishops, his. And ultimately, the power and the authority that we have here on earth come from him. And this is where, in the first reading, we see the priests, the Levite, Levitical priests, they'd forgotten that. They thought it came from them. And yet the power and authority that I have as a priest, as a pastor, is not because of me. It's because of him. It comes from him. The authority that I have to lead a parish, to preach the gospel, to celebrate the sacraments, come from him. And actually, there's another layer to this, because I don't get it on my own as a priest. It comes to me through the bishop. It is the bishop, through apostolic succession, that power and authority flows. I participate in that authority through him. I was ordained by Bishop Warfel, but by the bishop, to exercise that power and authority in his name. But that power and authority all comes from God. Ultimately, to live a life of humility is to turn our lives over to God and to recognize that everything comes from him and that we can trust him. And that we are to give him the glory and the honor and the love that he deserves as our Father. And so we are given that choice. Do we continue to live in pride? Do we continue to allow that pride to stay in us, to keep in us, to keep us away from God? Or do we turn to him out of humility and love and seek to root that humility, that pride out of us, and give him the honor, give our Heavenly Father the honor he deserves.